اللهم صل على أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله الذي أنزل الكتاب بالحق والميزان، وما يدريك لعل الساعة قريب، يستعجل بها الذين لا يؤمنون بها، والذين آمنوا مشفقون منها ويعلمون أنها الحق، ألا إن الذين يمارون في الساعة لفي ضلال بعيد. الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء، وهو القوي من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه، ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب. أم لهم شركاء شرعوا لهم من الدين ما لم يأذن به الله، ولولا كلمة الفصل لقضي بينهم وإن الظالمين لهم عذاب أليم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verses that were read of Surah Shura or Ash-Shura, the verses that were recited were verses 17 through 21, gives us some very important fundamental points for us to understand and take on board in our day-to-day lives, in our overall decision for life, in every decision we make. Some instructions are particular to a particular moment, to a specific moment in time. The instruction for prayer is limited to the times of prayer. Wherever there is a time of prayer, the instruction comes in. The instruction for Hajj is limited to the season of Hajj. The instruction for fasting in the month of Ramadan is limited to that time. Various instructions we have in the Holy Quran are instructions that are limited in terms of their application. The people that it applies to, it doesn't apply to everybody. The time that it applies to, and then there are those that apply to more people during more times. These, which are not really particular instructions, these are forms of guidance that help us have a better understanding of this world, of Allah, of ourselves, of how things work. That more accurate understanding of that fundamental, or those fundamental points, will affect each and every one of our decisions. It will affect our decisions regarding prayer. It'll affect our decisions regarding fasting. It'll affect our decisions regarding ziyarah, regarding hajj, regarding schooling, regarding finances, regarding marriage, regarding having children, raising children, our relationships, every little detail is affected by this. I hope with that we pay more careful attention to what is being said, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. I say that for myself first and foremost, and then I ask Allah to help me be able to deliver the message that's in these verses to all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 17 says, Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitaba bil-haqqi wal-mizan. These are points that we think we know, and we do know, but the reason why we're supposed to revisit these verses, read them again, is because there are aspects, there are dimensions of this that we neglect, we forget, we don't realize. Allah is the one that revealed the book with truth and with al-mizan, with the yardstick, with the scale, rather, the more accurate translation or the better equivalent for al-mizan is a scale. So there's a couple of points here. First, it starts with an emphasis, Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitab. Look, this book, God revealed it. It's not even the work of Jibra'il. Jibra'il is only a messenger. It's not his words. It's not from him. It's from Allah. The Prophet, he's a messenger. It's not his words. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God Almighty has sent this, has revealed this, has presented this to mankind. If that is repeated 50 times a day, it's still not enough for us to grasp this. Why do I say that? People look for various subjects in life. Business, for instance. Leadership, another one. Successful life. Mental health. So many different important things for us in our lives. We look for authors, this author, that author. Oh, this guy, he has a successful business. That guy, he owned a number of businesses. The other guy is a therapist. He has cured these many people, that many, and so on and so forth. And we get really interested. We go and buy a book that is twice the number of pages that the Holy Quran is. We read it. We tell everybody to read it. It has a lot of good points. God has revealed this. Did you look at the Quran to see what it has in regards to that topic? This isn't an instruction for mufassirin of the Quran. Anyone who does tafsir of the Quran, they go look and do research and try to understand and try to present. They're doing their thing for themselves. Every single one of us has got to go and look at the Quran, see what God's message is. That's in fact one of the most essential things that comes from this. God is the one that revealed this. Is God a more reliable source? Is God a more knowledgeable source? Or anyone else? Why is it that you refer to everyone else but not the Word of God? This is why we say repeating this. And then it's funny because people say, yeah, but there's always a but, that this book is good, it's beneficial, this, that, the other. Some of the things are in the Quran. Brother, sister, you have not read the Quran. That's why you're saying that. Your judgment is one-sided. You never went to the Quran to ask those questions. Somebody told you, the author of the book that's making loads of money off that book by selling the idea to you with that catchy title, that I know the answers to these questions. God says, I know the answer to every question, and I'm giving you for free. So no, I don't want this. I want to go pay whatever amount of money. Allahu alladhi anzala. If you keep mentioning this aspect and repeating different examples of how we do not take this seriously, we will go nonstop for hours upon hours, and we will still not cover our shortcomings in referring to the Quran. Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitab. What does it have? Bilhaq. How much of the material any other author has written is true, accurate, whether they deliberately didn't want to present the truth or they tried to, but they're deficient. How much can a person know of the truth and present it? This book is bilhaq. Every letter of it is a truth, is accurate, beyond our comprehension. It's so accurate about so many different important, fundamental, relative, pertinent matters that we are oblivious to, that we cannot even fathom most of the meanings of the Quran unless we try and read it over and over and over and over, as God has told us. And then this rusty old mind and heart of ours can open up to these realities, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enlighten us with the meanings in it. It's 100% true, 100% accurate. There's nothing in it that's not accurate. There's nothing in it that's not true. Find me another book, okay? Sure, the obviously, the Holy Quran tells us about the Prophet, مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. This man, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, he is not misled. So everything he does and everything he says is 100% accurate and true. However, do we have access to him directly? We have books that say these words were heard by people from the Prophet. We're not sure how much of that is accurate. We have to check the accuracy with the Quran. Ali ibn Abi Talib, similarly, whatever he did or said, accurate, true, 100%. Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, same story. The Imams of the progeny of the Prophet and Fatima al-Zahra and Amir al-Mu'mineen, the children of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayhima, same condition. However, do we have access to them right now, currently? There are books that have recorded what people have said they heard them say. We don't have a recording of every little thing they said and did, and a compilation that is 100% exactly what they said and did. We don't have such a thing. It's not available anywhere in the world. Any school of thought, Shia or otherwise. Every book has a little something. The person who heard, misheard this part, misheard that part, misremembered this part, misremembered that part, misworded this part, misworded that part. Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't misword, but the person who heard him and later recorded it in writing, one little slight error, it's not 100%. Quran anzal al-kitab bil-haq. What else? The other term, the truth, obviously, that already includes the next attribute that's mentioned here, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it, and that is being a scale. The Quran contains the scale by which you can evaluate things. You can evaluate thoughts. You can evaluate philosophies. You can evaluate theories. You can evaluate right and wrong and identify what is accurate, what is correct, what is true, what is beneficial, what is helpful, and what is not. That's what mizan is. A scale. A scale has got to be accurate. If you got a scale that's slightly off, then all your measurements are going to be slightly off. And that slightly every single measurement is going to add up to a whole lot of inaccuracy. One little slight error in the scale. This is al-haq. The scale is true. 100% accurate. The Quran is 100% accurate. And it's a scale. Based on this, you're supposed to judge everything. What to do, what not to do, what to believe, what not to believe. What direction to move towards, what direction not to move towards. What to value, what to disvalue, what not to value. The Quran contains all of this. And as simple as that concept is, very honestly and very bluntly, I need to put it that we don't believe in this. We don't. Generally, this person, that person, maybe here and there, Muslimin, be it Shia or otherwise, we don't believe in this. We don't believe in this. We don't believe in it because we don't go to it to see if there is a mention, something relevant to a certain concept or whatever. A certain ideology, a certain theory, a certain philosophy, a certain political theory. We don't even go. Does the Quran say anything about it or not? We assume it doesn't. Why? Because I didn't hear it. Well, the problem is we haven't been listening to the Quran. We haven't been looking at the Quran. That's why I never heard anything like that from the Quran. Well, what did you hear of the Quran? What did we hear of the Quran? How much have we heard of the Quran? Allah الذي أنزل الكتاب بالحق والميزان. And then God says, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبٌ. This reminder is very much relevant to that discussion, which is very fundamental, meaning the Quran being a revelation from God, the Almighty, and it containing haq and a scale. How is that relevant to وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبٌ? A reminder, maybe the hour, the time is near. This is the day of judgment. The reason of relevance is this. It may be difficult for us outside of the book, in other words, without referring to the book, to make the same judgment. In many cases, we can't make those judgments. God has to tell us. In fact, if it was something that we could do on our own, then why would God send us that revelation? It's something that we can't do on our own. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that scale. If it was something that we already were granted that ability to determine and differentiate between right and wrong, then God had already provided us with that innately and internally. There was no need for an external prophet, an external messenger, an external message, a book, an angel to reveal it. There would be no need. It's already within all of us. We already all understand it, individually or collectively. That shows already that we don't understand it. But on top of that, making a judgment whether what the Quran is saying is right or wrong in this material realm while it's still up is very difficult. Or rather, I should say, it's easy to be blinded. It's easy not to see what the Quran is saying. It's easy to be distracted. It's easy to get blurred vision. Okay? And so if this universe, as it is, would continue for a prolonged period of time and keep going and going and going and going and going and going, and different generations come, each generation, one group says, well, we don't know if this is true or not. The other says, it's impossible to determine whether it's true or not. The other will say, yeah, it is true. And then they're all arguing and discussing and debating. And this guy provides his reasons. The other guy provides their reasons. And they go back and forth. And they die, next generation. And it keeps going and going and going and going and never ending. Well, we would never be able to see where everyone would be clear. This is what it was. But when there is a day of judgment, when there is resurrection, when there is an afterlife, when there is a realm that the truth reveals itself, a realm that the truth is no longer disguised, the truth is no longer amongst a lot of other distractions. The realm is such that you can't get blurred vision. And everything will be crystal clear. If there is such a time, and that will become clear, those who took this judgment of Allah, teachings of Allah, the scale from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the haq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who took it and implemented it will be in great condition. Those who didn't will be in deep trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us and warning us. Warning us that if you are uncomfortable to accept this truth, if you are more comfortable in this life, you think, based on your judgment, to keep going without looking at these teachings. Just make judgments. I don't want to be told what to do and what not to do. So I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to reject it. All these different things that we do, even as Muslimin. Many Muslimin outright reject the political teachings of Islam. Outright. Not only do they outright reject the political teachings of Islam, they accuse those who present it from the sources to be radicals, the way the Western non-Muslims say. They accuse those who present it from the Quran to be having an agenda and loads of other things that they accuse. They outright reject the political thought, the political teachings of Islam, of the Quran. There are those of us who reject many teachings of the Quran regarding the penal code. We reject, we don't want to accept. There are those of us who do that. So, those who want to reject this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, let me remind you, God says this contains the truth. The truth is the truth. If the penal code is there, the penal code is there. That's the penal code. If you do it accordingly, then that is going to result in the desirable effects here and in the hereafter. If you don't do it in this world, you may be confused. You may tell yourself, you may tell others, it actually works better if we don't do this. But there's a day of resurrection. There's a day of judgment. There's another realm that you can't confuse yourself and confuse others. The truth will be manifest and your vision will be very clear. You will not be blurred. You will not have blurred vision. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ That's what exactly that word says. Hadid is sharp. Your vision is very sharp. Now you're able to see clearly. Then it will become evident. So this is a warning to us. It's your choice. Yeah. Nobody denies choice. That's what God has given us. No one can deny choice. Even if somebody is forced to say they believe, as the Quran says, لا إكراه في الدين. Deen is something that إكراه or force is impossible in it. You will accept what you want. Even if you say, I believe, you will accept in your heart what you want. You don't accept it, you didn't accept it, no matter what you say. لا إكراه في الدين. It's your choice. Everybody's got a choice. But when you're making that choice to refer to the Qur'an or not to refer to the Qur'an, to reject something that is said to be in the Qur'an without even looking into the Qur'an, or accepting it, or at least doing research, or trusting a source that has got expertise and you've tested them to be trustworthy, they won't lie. You decide to trust that. When you want to make that choice, remember this. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ It's, the wording is really nice. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ You don't know. لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبٌ Maybe the hour is near. Doesn't God never determines exactly to us when it is? Okay. It's بَغْتَ It's sudden. It will happen suddenly. It will happen to all. Just make sure you remember this. And again, that itself is part of this book. And the same thing applies to it. This is haq. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبٌ You don't know. That's a fact. لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ Perhaps. Sa'a is near. The hour. Resurrection. The end of this realm is near. You don't know. Maybe it is. That itself is a truth. You have a choice. be warned by that, heed to that, accept it, see it, think about it at least, or just disregard it and say, you know what, I don't care about this stuff, let me go about my business, my house, my bills, my car, my children, my education, my this, my that, and so on and so forth. Let's make the world like the West. Let's make Pakistan and Iran and Afghanistan and Iraq and Lebanon and Syria and Egypt. Let's try to worship this Lord of the West. Bring their ways of life. Adopt their ways of life. Adopt their education. Adopt their education systems. Adopt their laws. Adopt their political systems. Adopt their economic systems. Look up to them. Look at this advancement and attribute it to them. Say, we need to bring this over to the East. And when that doesn't come to the East, let's all leave the East and come to the West and beg the master to let us in. Beg the master to give us citizenship because we want to live here. Okay, when you want to make these choices, think about this. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبٌ. Brothers, sisters, let me give this reminder to all of us. All of us living out here are vulnerable. We are all vulnerable. All the problems in the East are because westernized Muslims. Westernized Muslims of Iran were the problems that have caused this backwardness of Iran. That happened, and now they're getting back on their feet. And then now that they're getting back on their feet, the problems, the obstacles, the ones preventing faster progress are the ones that are again westernized. Their mind, their heart, their qibla is the West. A lot of them didn't consciously choose that. You know how the Shahs of Iran were westernized? They say the major or the one Iranian Shah before this last dynasty that pretty much changed the course. It had already changed, but what happened during his time was much worse. And the rate of change and westernization, bringing Western culture, Western goods, Western way of life into Iran from the top, from the Shah of Iran, was Nasiruddin Shah's time. Nasiruddin Shah of the Qajar dynasty. What happened during his time is the worst. That's the beginning of the worst part of what happened to the Iranian people. In terms of their move away from Islam. The start of it is with him. What happened? Nasiruddin Shah was the first king of Iran, Shah of Iran, that traveled to Europe. They didn't force any ideal. They didn't say anything. He just came and he just looked around, spent a couple of months, went back to Iran. He was a different guy, different person. He didn't consciously choose. Just saw that. Didn't analyze correctly. Instead of saying, oh, there's some good and there's some bad. There's some good and there's some evil. The good is the reminder that if we get our act together, there's so much that we can make progress towards. Let's stop being lazy. And the bad and the evil is horrible. He didn't. He just saw the parts that were better than what he had seen in Iran. And he attributed the whole thing, the good and the evil, both to the evil part, which is the evil ideology, materialism, atheism, moving away from religion, moving away from the Quran, moving away from the teachings of Islam, adopting non-Islamic ways of life. Attributed to that. Why? Because, again, We're out here, we subconsciously many times, we're not fully conscious, although there is a level, that's why it's called subconscious, for or perhaps one of the reasons, if that is intended, otherwise we will say that. It's not fully conscious, but there is consciousness, there is understanding. There is a choice involved there. Give your heart away to this. And then we are in touch with people in Muslim lands, be it Iraq or Lebanon or Iran or Arabia or Pakistan or India or Afghanistan, wherever else, Muslim lands, in touch with them subconsciously, without realizing, we are promoting life under the Tawhut. We are promoting Western lifestyle. And then if at any point there is an involvement, a believer gets involved with the political system in their home country, that Westernization will affect their judgment, and they will be one of the major problems for their country without even perhaps fully realizing that they are the problem. Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitaba bil-haq. Be careful, we need to be careful that we don't adopt anything that does not conform with the Quran. And the only way to do that is to refer to the Quran. Refer to it, read it regularly, see what God has said, remind ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, help us. I'll skip a couple of verses and read verse 19 and then 20. These are, again, very important verses. I hesitate to discuss these verses, because I feel that some of us will be thinking this is redundant. Some of us will be thinking, okay, you know, it's there. Tell me of history. This little thing that happened. Did Aisha do this? Did Yazid do that? Who cares? تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. A lot of times our references to these historic accounts is ridiculous. It's not to learn anything. No, this guy said this is the detail, that guy said this. Which one is it? Who cares? The Quran, when there's disputes between the followers of the Prophet and the Jews or the Christians about these were great prophets. These were great prophets, right? These were great prophets. But then there were disputes. And God says, that was a verse of the Quran that I read. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. The Quran doesn't address which one of them is right. He says, what's your issue with that? تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ. That is a nation they have passed on. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. For it is what they earned, what they did for themselves. And whatever they did wrong is their business. Don't busy yourself with these things. Don't ruin your lives with this thing. These are important teachings. The Quran repeatedly mentions them. We don't repeat it as much as the Quran tells us to repeat. And because of that, we don't adopt this ideology. Let me read it before. That first line was very important, very fundamental. One of the lines that is haq and mizan, that's related to a large portion of our lives, is this, verse 19. Allahu latifun bi'ibadih yarzuqu men yasha. God is the one who has mercy towards his ibad. He grants rizq and sustenance to whomever he wishes. This is the truth. You want to accept it, or you want to wait for the day of judgment to see it was true. It's your choice. But this is what God says he revealed. This is the mizan. You can kill yourself trying to earn a couple more pennies. Save a couple more pennies. Check every sale paper to see where you can find it cheaper. Trick this person to try to get it cheaper from them. Try to force this person in a bargain to give it to you for cheaper. You know, all of that to earn more in your mind. To be rich, to be wealthy. It causes us to look up to the likes of, oh, Bill Gates said this. La'anatullah alayhi, he's in hellfire right now. Who the heck cares what Bill Gates says? Elon Musk, the next billionaire. La'anatullah alayhi, he's in hellfire right now. What do you care about who this idiot is, this fool is? Look at these verses. Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha'. Whatever they have, they don't compare to Qarun, compare to his conditions. The Quran describes, Qarun said, I got this. That's what Elon Musk says. He shows off what he has. It's like, oh, these are secrets to my success. La'anatullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. What success? The Quran tells you, God gave it to you. What do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Qarun said, I got it. Prophet Musa told him, ibtaghi fima ataka Allah. God gave that to you. God gave that to you. يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He gives sustenance. You want to believe it? You don't want to believe it. It's your choice. It's our choice. But that's what God says. يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He gives. What you do, what you don't do, has nothing to do with how much you're going to end up having. Has nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it. 110%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving it us. Call me whatever you want. That's the very basic translation of this verse. You don't like it? Go find another Quran. Go make another Quran up. Like, but we need to study, but we need to do that. Not for this, no. Taklif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Study, I will study. Do that work, do that work. How much will I have? God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rizq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. A lot of Muslimin don't have. There was a father of a brother in his late teens. In a speech in another country, there were youth sitting there. I told him, look, brothers, sisters, you're young, understand this. Establish your life based on this fact, this truth. He wanted to beat me up. Literally, if his son hadn't gotten into the way, he would have beat me up physically. He was already shouting his head off. What the heck are you telling these children? You should be telling them study this, that. They're already not doing it. They need to work hard, this, that, the other. It's not about your work. It's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you teaching them? Brother, if you don't like this Quran, go make your own Quran. This is what the Quran says. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And this is what I believe. You want to kill me for it? Kill me for it. This is what I'm going to believe. And as long as I live, and as long as I breathe, and as long as there's blood pumping in my veins, This is the only thing. Al-haqqu min rabbik. The other verse here. And Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitaba bil-haqq wal-mizan. This is mizan. You learned economics, successful life, prosperity from the West. Like you got to work hard, this, that, the other to get it. No. يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, the Quran says. We work harder, not because of what you learn from Western universities, colleges, or just looking at it from the out, from abroad and loving the West and so on and so forth. The Prophet told us, he went into a grave. I don't know if you've seen burials. That's the sloppiest work anyone can do, because you're just going to bury a person and you're going to cover it up. They were burying a mu'min underground. They're going to cover it up. No one will ever see that. They're putting that stone over the body. It's called lahad. They were doing a sloppy job. The Holy Prophet said, wait. He went down there. He fixed it perfectly. Came outside. He said, when you do work, do it correctly. We learned this from the Prophet, not from Bill Gates, not from Steve Jobs. These fools, these idiots that cut every corner that they could. The Prophet does that. No one will ever see that. God does. That's one of the bigger differences. God sees that. God likes you to do things in that way. And He's always there. You don't brush anything under the carpet. There is no carpet for Allah. This applies to all of us, brothers and sisters. يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. The sooner we get this in our head, the sooner we will start making correct decisions. وَهُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزُ. And then if you think that, oh, if God is the one who's going to give me sustenance, why are we so poor? We don't have, can God really give us? Yes, God is very powerful. قَوِي. And Aziz, he's not a being that can be defeated by anyone. He gives sustenance. He has the ability. No one stands any chance against him to stand against his will. He wants you to have this. You will have it. Period. No one in the world and outside the world can stop it. This is what God says. You want to choose to accept it, see this truth, or turn a blind eye to it, look up to Western ways of life? It's your choice. Then the next line of the last one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ. Whoever wants the harvest of the last day, if you want to reap the benefits of your work in the akhirah, it's the metaphor that's used is agriculture, is cultivating the land, is planting seeds. You plant a seed, you harvest it later. Okay. You plant the seed with your actions in this world, you harvest it later. If you're looking for that, the harvest you're looking for is the harvest of the next life, is the akhirah. نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ. We will add to it. We will add. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا. But if you're looking for the dunya, نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. We will give of it. How much? Some. And whatever the amount is. $500 billion that nobody has, as far as I've looked, the figures that keep popping, they keep putting this on social media, so you keep getting attracted to it. It's disgusting. This guy says, I got $200 billion. There's people dying. A few pennies help these people. I got $200 billion. I'm the first person. That guy's the second person. Oh no, for a couple days, I was the first person. They keep popping up with these figures. You have to see it. You don't have a choice. لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Whatever it is, it's small. He says, if you want harfa dunya, if you want the lower life's harvest, you want this thing, we'll give you some of it. Nu'ti minha. But the bad part about it is, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ نَصِيبٌ. If you want the dunya, there's nothing for you in the akhirah. There's no harvest there. It didn't say the reverse for the first. If you aim for the akhirah, for the harth of akhirah, God says we will add. He doesn't say where. It includes all, everywhere. We will add to his harvest. If you want the harvest of this dunya, God will give you some. For some it's a little more, for some a little less. But it's always some. It's a portion. It's not a huge amount. It's not the abundance that you're not worried. These guys can have heart attacks any day. They're worried about if they're number one or number two or number three. In the akhirah, there's nothing for them. Again, this is a very important hack. It's not about this decision or that decision. When you choose your career, this thought comes in. You want to choose a business, this thought comes in. You want to choose what to sell, who to do business with, it comes in. You want to see if you want to support a political system, you don't want to support a political system, this thought comes in. You want to see if you should support the muqawama or you shouldn't, this thought comes in. Every little detail in our lives, this is an important truth that we need to remind ourselves, brothers, sisters. This is a reality of this world. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us. We hope that we are of من كان يريد حرث الآخرة. Wallah, increase our want for the harth or the harvest of the akhirah. And honestly, we say I confess, you can choose if you wish, if you think it's true. Ya Allah, there is a want, a desire for harth of the dunya. You've said, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَهُ مِنْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. Unfortunately, there is some desire for the harth of the dunya, this lower life's harth that's in my heart. And if you don't help me, if you don't assist me, if you don't remove that, then I'm afraid I will keep wanting it until I enter the realm of those that you have said, مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be true and close companions of the imam. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping Islam, especially our ulama, our maraji', and more so, and above all, our beloved leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all, to grant all of us, all believers worldwide, our hajat, our needs, our requests, cure all the ill from amongst us, relieve all of us of this pandemic, relieve all those who are suffering from it more directly with the illness itself, with COVID-19, especially our dear sister Anna, that the latest news that we have heard is that the progress is coming along. Inshallah, it continues until we see her back home. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa alihi rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.